Let's begin with prayer. Father God, I thank you for your blessings and for your goodness to us. Hallowed be thy name. May thy will be done in our lives today as it is in heaven. Please guide us in our study. Bless us and give us understanding of your holy word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Willpower, the power over temptation, or the power to surrender? Which one is it? Well, growing up in a Christian home, I've always believed that God exists and is the all-powerful ruler of the universe. I realized that Jesus was my Savior, my only hope of salvation. I believed in the Bible as the holy word of God. I faithfully attended church every week. I even preached a few sermons. In nearly all areas of my life, I lived by good biblical principles, and yet I had one cherished sin. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. It was an addiction that I practiced for 25 years. I felt like the man of Romans 7, where Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which was in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So I'd like to share with you how the power of God has worked and is still working in my life to break the chains of addiction and give me a freedom that I never before realized was possible. In 1994, I was encouraged by some biblical lessons I learned from the book Ministry of Healing, which I'll be quoting throughout my testimony. It's the text that shows up in green, like this one. "God has not left us to battle with evil in our own finite strength. Whatever may be our inherited or cultivated tendencies to wrong, we can overcome through the power that he is ready to impart. The tempted one needs to understand the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man. The power of decision, the power of choice. Everything, yes, everything depends on the right action of the will. The key that set me free from bondage was the understanding of the true force of the will. The proper use of my God-given willpower has brought me from the depths of addiction to the joy of freedom in Jesus Christ, my Savior. As a child, I was taught that the way to overcome temptation was to first try harder. And then, well, I asked God for more strength so that I could try even harder. Well, this worked for some things some of the time, but it didn't work for all temptations all the time, and it hardly ever worked for my cherished sin, the sin that so easily beset me, as the Bible describes it. Desires for goodness and purity are right so far as they go, but if we stop here, they avail nothing. Many, in the book Ministry of Healing, it says this, many will go down to ruin while hoping and desiring to overcome their evil propensities. They do not yield their will to God. They do not choose to serve him. And my desire was for goodness and purity, but try as hard as I might, I was still going down to ruin and while hoping and desiring to overcome my addictive behavior. Here's some Bible text. Matthew 26:41, it says, Jesus says, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh is weak. John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my Father's judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but I seek the will of the Father who sent me. And then in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Romans 9:16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. So it's not the power of my will that gives me the victory, but it's God who gives me the victory. So after 25 years of failure, I came to realize that I was powerless over my thoughts, my impulses, and my affections. My spirit was willing, but my flesh was weak. I used to think that I could resist temptation with my own willpower. But if Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing, then who am I that I should think that I can? In fact, he also said, without me, ye can do nothing. So then, paraphrasing Romans 9:16, I must conclude that victory over sin does not come by my willpower, but by God's power, who has mercy on me. So what can I do? What is my part in this so that God will use his power to overcome my sin? God has given us the power of choice, reading again from Ministry of Healing. It is ours to exercise. We cannot change our hearts. We cannot control our thoughts, our impulses, our affections. We cannot make ourselves pure, fit for God's service. But there is something we can do. We can choose to serve God. We can give him our will. Then he will work in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Thus, our whole nature will be brought under the control of Christ. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil to you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Deuteronomy 30:19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. 1 Kings 19:12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but Jehovah was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. So I began to discover that divine principle of cooperation. I discovered that I could choose to serve God. The Bible says, choose you this day whom ye will serve, and choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Since I believe that God's biddings are his enablings, I must conclude that he has given me the power of choice. So now, I must start my day by choosing to follow Jesus. Then, throughout the day, I must continue to choose to serve God by obeying that still small voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. If I don't, I make mistakes. I'm deceived by the promptings of Satan's evil angels. Sometimes, God's promptings convict me against my natural inclinations. It goes against my will. When this happens, I must choose to give him my will, because not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. That was Jesus in Matthew 7:21. When Jesus calls for my will, I must choose to say, as did Saul on the road to Damascus, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's Acts 9:6. Acts 9:6. Not as I will, but as thou will. Thy will be done. That was Jesus, part of Jesus' prayer in Matthew 26. As I die to self by submitting my will to God's will, I begin to understand why King David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Psalm 40, verse 8. It's because God doesn't make mistakes. He sees the end from the beginning when I can't see anything. Even though I may think I can, he has never failed me. He knows what is best for me. Philippians 2:13 says, For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, Not according to our works, our willpower, but according to his purpose, Christ's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. So as I turn my life and my will over to him, God works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure, not as I would do, but according to his own purpose. He promises to instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. That's Psalm 32, verse 8. And I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me, for it says so in Hebrews 13:5. Because Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, in Matthew 28:20. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. John 15:4, Jesus said, Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In Ezekiel 36:26, God promised to give me a new heart and a new spirit, as I allow him to captivate my thoughts. Jesus brings forth good fruit for me as I abide in him, even as the branch abides in the vine. And if I don't abide in Jesus, if I don't continue to surrender my will to his, then I make mistakes. Another passage from Ministry of Healing. Actually, all of this is taken from page 176 of the book Ministry of Healing. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in the life. By yielding up the will to Christ, we ally ourselves with divine power. Would you like to ally yourself with divine power? That's a pretty awesome promise. We receive strength from above to hold us steadfast. A pure and noble life, a victory over appetite and lust, and may I add, really anything else that troubles us. This victory is possible to everyone who will unite his weak, wavering human will to the omnipotent, that's all-powerful, unwavering will of God. Here's some more Bible texts. A lot of Bible text in this study. I love the Bible. We can learn much from God's holy word. And it changes us by internalizing, by digesting, by assimilating the word of God. It changes who we are. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Ephesians 3:19, And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, in Colossians, I forget the text right now, but Paul said that Christ has the fullness of God, is filled with the fullness of God, and hear the promise to us through the Apostle Paul is that we can also be filled with all the fullness of God. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Christ, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Christ lives to make intercession for us right now. That's what he's doing. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Can you imagine that? According to the power that works in us. You want that power of God working in you? Yes, I do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. And so it is my privilege to ally myself with divine power as I yield my will to Christ. My sufficiency is of God and God alone. He promises to strengthen me with might by his Spirit, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God, because he is able and willing. He is able and willing to do exceedingly above all that we ask or even can think. So I thank God that by these promises we all may be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruptions of this planet. More Bible text. Matthew 1:21. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Quite a promise there, isn't it? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But let us never forget that we can, without Jesus, he said, we can do nothing. Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect in every good work. You wish to be perfect in every good work? Well, the writer of Hebrews says we can. That's what I want. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory, how? Through his beloved only begotten Son. Paul says, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The most exciting part of this experience with Christ is that a life of victory over every temptation, every sin, and every addiction is possible for me and for you. The secret is in uniting our weak, faltering will to the all-powerful will of the King of the universe. Jesus came to save us from our sins. God says that all our temptations are common to all humanity and that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear by his grace, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ even says he will make us perfect in every good work to do his will. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it, the will of man, becomes omnipotent. Will of man becomes all-powerful. Whatever is to be done at his command, be accomplished in his strength, for all his biddings are enablings. I think I read this to you last time we were together. This is from Christ Object Lessons, another book by the same author as Ministry of Healing. So in summary and conclusion, I would like to make several points as clear as possible. Number one, my willpower and yours is not and never will be strong enough to successfully resist every evil temptation that comes our way. Number two, our willpower, our human willpower, is always, it's always strong enough to surrender our will to Christ's, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thy will be done. Now, that was my sword text. Sometime soon, we'll talk about some other sword texts with stories from others who have given their personal testimony to me. But this was mine. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul, who was to become Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was on his way to Damascus to take out more of God's people. And when the glory of God shone down on him and he recognized his powerlessness and said, Lord, it's like he threw up his hands and said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm surrendered now. What do you want me to do, man? Thy will be done. That's a quote from Jesus when he's praying to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was hoping that that he wouldn't have to go through with the cross, but nevertheless, he surrendered his will to his Father, saying, Thy will be done. That's Matthew 26:42. This is the power of choice that God will not allow to be taken away. Number three, in this surrendered condition, the power of God will always and forever successfully thwart the powers of evil that are constantly seeking to destroy us. God will deal with the tempter as we absolutely surrender to him. Number four, this is not a one-time surrender. This is where a lot of people get tripped up by Satan and his evil angels, thinking, oh, well, I surrendered that. I'm done with that now. No problem. Well, no, that's not how it works. Temptations will come again and again. Surrender to Jesus must be a continual way of life in order to experience ongoing victory over sin. And this is what it means to die to self and to live by the grace of Christ. And this is what Paul meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ, and I die daily. That's Galatians 2:20 and 1 Corinthians 15:31. I know for a fact that this works, because whenever I follow this formula by surrendering my will to Christ, he gives me the victory every time, every time. Ellen G. White. Now, Ellen G. White, I don't know if you know who she is or not, but it was her who is the author of those books that I quoted from today, mostly Ministry of Healing, but also Christ Object Lessons. This is something else that she said that kind of sums it up for me. She says, everything good in men and women is the fruit of the working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit teaches us to reveal righteousness in our lives. The greatest work that can be done in our world is to glorify God by living the character of Christ. God will make perfect only those who will die to self. Those who are willing to say, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Friend, Jesus is calling for your heart now. Wouldn't you like to have a new heart, as described in Ezekiel 36:26? Wouldn't you like to have the mind of Christ, as Paul described in Philippians 2:5? Jesus will give you the victory over every sin, every temptation, every addiction, and every regret that you've ever had. It matters not how low you've sunk in the mire of sin. Jesus loves you with an infinite love. He is the answer to all of your troubles and mine. Clasp the hand of Jesus and he will lift you up. He may not speak to you in a loud voice with a blinding light as he did to Saul on the road to Damascus. More likely, he is speaking to you now in a still small voice, saying, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness." That's Matthew 11:28 and Ezekiel 36:29. You can trust my Jesus. Just say, "Lord, what will you have to do?" As in Acts 9:6, and really mean it. And now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let us close with prayer. Father God, I praise your holy name for the faith of Jesus. We want more of the faith that Jesus had. Please help us to hear your still small voice when you prompt us to action. Give us courage to stand for you when others go other directions. Change us to be more and more like your beloved only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.